Heavenly Father, once again we thank you with all our hearts for your precious word. Is not every verse, every scripture delicious? Do you not speak to us? O God, thank you that you have opened our eyes, that you have given eyeself, that we can see, ears that hear, and a heart that receives and believes. We thank you for this, O God. Take us and teach us to pray, and be thou with us all, with our homes, families, with all. We lay it before you, O God, and ask thee, do something, make a beginning, which then leads to completion, so thoroughly, so deeply, in me and in all of us. Not I shall begin, you shall begin, O Lord, very new, very mighty. Worship and glory to your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we are here to meet God. And you know, every time you think about a service, then it pervades you on the deep inside. And after all, we want to experience God, somehow find the way to that, that He can reveal Himself to us, that He can respond, that His name is glorified, as we have heard. And I have before me today the first and the last sermon that we have published of Brother Branham. Series 1, number 1. Series 6, number 9. These sermons, I'm sure you can take them with you today, if I'm right. And in the first sermon, Brother Branham had the vision of the bride. He saw the bride. The English word preview is very difficult to translate into German. We translated it as preview or outlook. In any case, it is something that you can look at before it finally appears. Preview is probably the best word that could have been chosen. But we have learned English ourselves over the years. We didn't know so much. And we didn't always choose the words the way we might today. And you can see it with the Bible translations. They also make an effort and always find slightly better words to express the same thing. What moves me here is simply the thought, right on page 5, he saw the bride in an impossible, hopeless state, going with rock and roll. And then he says here, of all the effort and things that people have done to present Christ a bride, is this filthy, dirty, indecent looking, I will not say here the next word, supposed to be the bride of Christ? This made me sick on my inside as she walked by where we stood, holding the paper in front of her, in a twist, moving from side to side, like in the modern dances. And then I have to leave that out again one can hardly read it. But then here it says, as she passed by, I saw that the back was not covered at all. When they had passed, I felt sick. I felt sick. Then he said, the bride was coming back for a preview. The bride followed her. So we see two things here. Once the bride passed by, an impossible sight, that the man of God felt sick when he saw her pass by. And then again the bride was to be shown. And then it says, she looked just like the first one at the beginning. My heart leaped for joy to know that there will be a bride who will be fashioned and clothed just like the one at the beginning. She must be called out. Here we have the hope. He has seen her as she looks before the calling out, before God can reveal himself to her. And then later he saw the bride after her calling out, as the Lord will see her and as she will appear before him. At the first sight, he felt sick. At the second, his heart leaped for joy. We listened to the song, what will it be like on that morning? What will it be like when the called out, the prepared, the adorned bride will meet the bridegroom? For us, at the moment, still incomprehensible. But with God, all things are already so, even if they are still in the future, as if they had already been yesterday. For him, everything is already a completed plan of salvation that is finished, that is completed, and so it is with the bride of the Lamb. She will appear before the throne of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And as the people of Israel in Egypt had only one means for the firstborn, so we, as the firstborn, have only one means, the blood of the Lamb. And where the enemy passes by and wants to do mischief, there the blood of the Lamb must be seen, and then we are preserved. One more thing I wanted to read from page 6. The bride was in the same state when she passed by as the one at the beginning. I paid attention to her and saw that she was slipping. I tried to get her back in line. He saw the bride as she was at the beginning, and yet he saw her slipping. And it was he who tried to bring her back in line. And this is what we believe and what we are convinced of, that in this last time there are not three or four voices through which God speaks, but one voice with which he speaks. and that is the voice of His revealed word, and it is always right. We want a voice that is right. If the voice is not right, then the words are not right either, and then we can do without it. Nevertheless, it goes to my heart and yours that the bride, as He saw her at the beginning, not the one with rock and roll, but now already in the beautiful state, and yet here He says, I watched her and saw that she was slipping. I tried to get her back in line. Let us accept it by faith that the same God who has seen to it that a bride is called out, the same God sees to it that she herself is brought back into the right path after she has slipped. And it is not you, nor I, nor anyone else who will be able to do this, but God Himself, through the word that He has given to His servant and prophet. There is no other alignment. If there were, we would listen to it and go there. But there cannot be. As I said before, in every generation and always, when God did something or revealed His will and His word, He revealed Himself first to him through whom He would speak. And He, let me use that word here, He seized him for Himself. He put him in His service to speak and work through him to be a blessing for all God's people. So this is the first sermon here that we have translated. Recognize the day and its message. 15 years have passed. The last sermon, Three Kinds of Believers. This sermon is a hammer and sickle. This sermon will not let any of us pass without each one placing himself before the face of God, from first to last. There is no other sermon as personal and as decisive as this sermon. And it won't do any of us any good, not me and not you, if when we read this sermon we think, that's true of him and that's true of her. That could be him. That will be a futile reading, and God will not be able to speak to us. But if we read here and notice what is said, then may the Holy Spirit speak to every heart. Even when our Savior said, one will betray me, none of them asked, tell me, is it you? Could it be you? No one looked at the other. Everybody asked, is it me? That's the thing. In the presence of Jesus, we have no choice but to ask ourselves, Lord, did you mean me? Do I fall under this description? Does it apply to me? Then give me grace, for it is still the time of grace. The remarks are very hard. However, they are meant and suitable for all of us to really put the mirror of the word before our eyes. I am convinced that no sermon will be read as often as this one in particular. And I therefore say once again, not that we now read and say, well, that fits 100%. This the prophet has already foretold. Even if we somehow find the things that have been, that is not yet your and my solution. Your and my solution does not come from finding fault, whether it is your own fault or the fault of others. Your and my solution comes from God, the Lord, who meets you and me anew and reveals himself anew to you and me. The solution of the problem is not yet the finding of the thing. That is one thing. But coming into the presence of God and saying, Lord, the time is running out, and you will see it. The scripture will also be fulfilled in that believers will say, the Lord is far from coming. After all, we had the years where we asked ourselves, should our children still learn this or that, or, all of us, sitting or standing here, we were under the direct impression, year in and year out, every day could be the last, every week, who wanted to miss a meeting? Brothers have given up their earthly careers that would have promised success just because they would have had to leave this place because we put all the weight on the cause of God. Now it can turn into the opposite, that one says to oneself, we were foolish. We could have had that now. If we had thought well back then we would have been now this and that. Maybe we would have done some things differently. Maybe we would have more. But God has led us this way. And the scriptures must be fulfilled. But it must not happen that the bride comes to the point and says, the Lord is far from coming. We have waited so long. All these years have passed. Now we don't know where we are. Brethren, I must tell you, by the grace of God, we know where we are at. Because we know who we believe in. We have not specialized ourselves to a time. We have aligned ourselves to the Word and been aligned by the Word. And the Lord speaks very clearly in His Word. Time and hour, no one knows. Just as clearly, He said, when you see all these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. And if you read the other gospel, it says, this is the beginning of sorrows, but not yet the end. Sometimes you have to put all four gospels together in the certain areas where they describe the same thing in order to have an overall picture. We have not gone wrong in waiting for the coming of the Lord. But if we now turn our attention to everything else and say, yes, somehow I'm disappointed now. Things did not come as we meant them to. Something can happen that we are put on a track that is no longer aligned with or aimed at what God is setting before us in this time. Here, in this last sermon, Brother Branham is dealing with believers, make believers, and unbelievers. And even if we were to make the statement tonight with sincerity before God and before ourselves that we belong to the believers, may God grant it so. Let us accept that. And then it comes like a hammer out of the blue. And then we hear the same man of God say, if you are truly believers, then the signs that the Lord has promised to believers will follow you. And if they do not follow you, then... So, I don't think there's any scope left even for the believers here to still somehow be concerned with thoughts about the unbeliever or about anyone else. But even the small multitude of believers that are left, they are given a commandment here to apply hammer and sickle. And what is then left? I was like, we also had a few words with Brother Rus today. It just goes to my heart that God wants to have services where He glorifies Himself. Services where we don't part unless we've had a real encounter with our God. Sure, I agree with all those who are convinced that God meets us in His Word in every meeting. And I fully agree with you that God meets us and speaks to us in His Word in every meeting. I have not yet known the day, even under the worst of circumstances, when I would have come here without God speaking through His Word. In every meeting, God has spoken to me. I cannot afford to judge others, but I would tend to believe that He has not only spoken to me, but to all of us. Through every word that was read, that was brought, He spoke to us. But God is not only a God of words, He is a God of deeds, a God of power, a God who wants to reveal Himself. And there's the thing. I think it's in this sermon where Brother Branham elaborates that when the Lord said in the beginning, let there be light, and the light would not have come forth, then it would not have been the Lord speaking at all. Because where God speaks, the things that He speaks come forth. That's the thing. where God speaks, what He says appears. And that is where we are challenged, one as well as the other. And no one thinks to himself, yes, you ministering brethren, then it is high time with you. Who belongs to the church of God? Who forms the body of the Lord? Just two or three people? Or are we all baptized by one Spirit into one body? Perhaps we shall say, Lord, begin thus and baptize us all by one Spirit into one body. God's power must come into the body of the Lord. And it is through the power of God that the Word of God becomes a reality. The promise about the coming Messiah that had been written in the Bible for a long time. But when the angel made the announcement and the Holy Spirit came down, the Word became flesh, took form, and the Word became reality. God manifested. The same, that's how I understand the message God gave, was at all times. That not only a word of promise went forth, but that the Spirit, which is the power of God, the Holy Spirit, is the power of God. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. An outpouring of the Holy Spirit is actually an endowment, an equipping with the power of God, with a power from on high. We see this in the book of Acts, and the end is to be like the beginning. And now we come to the question, how do we get to the point where God can bless us in such a way, bless us, that it overflows, that others are also blessed? We can read this sermon, and I say it again, and here are some things described that we will think about. But even if we think about it and have the thing under control, then God is far from having us under His control. God wants to have you and me under control. Not just that we think we have things right, but that we can face God. You know, you are like me. We are very quick to say, Lord, whatever you ask, we will do. But sometimes it's the big things we want to do, and the small ones we want to leave undone. But God walks a path with us that doesn't start with the big things, but it's actually the path of small steps. But they are steps of faith. And I can't help but believe and trust God completely, because He is worthy. We have not heard cunningly devised fables and have not given our time to a cause that would have no hope and no future, but we believe that God has spoken and that He stands by His word. And if, like Abraham, we had to wait not just 15, but 25 years, our faith should grow stronger and stronger. Outwardly, it may sometimes seem impossible that one would say to oneself, or perhaps to someone else, but never to God. As far as God is concerned, there is an anchor fixed in our heart that every promise and every word is the absolute truth. But sometimes we feel, as David said in one place, how does he say it in this psalm? He says, they are all liars. Sometimes he lost his temper and he might have wanted to lash out to the right and left. But when he came to his senses and didn't have people in mind but God and could say, I have the Lord always before my eyes, for the Lord has said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. He has indeed left us both in the Psalms in the best possible way. What you can say in despair, looking at yourself, looking at circumstances, and what comes forth by the grace of God, when we look to the one who graciously looked down on us and who has redeemed and called us. Here, in this sermon, Brother Branham says, that's the kind that stays until they can find a fault in it. They are always looking around for a loophole and try to find out how it is done, if it is a trick or something. They are waiting for it, that they can betray. That is what they look for. The unbeliever doesn't wait long. He rejected it and walked away. The believer believes it anyway, because it is the Word, no matter what. Then it says, there you have your three groups. The believer believes the Word, no matter what happens. How many times have you heard it? In the beginning was the Word. And I remember today, a December day, when there was a conference over there, and a man took over 3 hours to expound that Brother Branham is the Word. And I really lost my temper. I was sitting in the last row, and I went all the way to the front, and I wrote on the note, now it's over. I'm going to the front. But the leading brother said no, and he wrote there, let him finish. But the next day, I took occasion and went unbidden, not to the brother, but to the pulpit, when no man expected it, and brought the word of the Lord. And I asked the question, who was in the beginning? Was it Moses? Was it Elijah? Was it Branham? Was it Paul? No. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was God. And God made all things. After 15 minutes was a break. What am I trying to say? God spoke. But you have to go back to the beginning to understand what was said. And we will come back to John in a moment. But here is a special passage, and I ask you all to read over it. Really, read over it. And if you do not read over it, then let each one examine himself, but not another, but himself, and also keep it to himself before God, with what result he has come out with after reading it for himself. It is not about, and I say this again in love, it is not about of us reading here now and saying, yes, now everything is quite clear. It is far from being that clear, unless God glorifies Himself and manifests His power. And so we have heard it here in this word from John 12. The Savior prayed, Father, glorify thy name. Then a voice sounded from heaven, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Oh, that God could answer us in this way. You know, if we are really concerned about the glorification of the name in which God has revealed Himself to us and nothing else but that, then the answer should come, and not only with words, but with action. But if you read John 17, the Lord said the same thing afterwards. We may come to it quickly. Here it says, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, do you see what this is about? It's not about what the people said, standing by, talking about thunder. They haven't understood anything yet. Nor is it about that someone says an angel spoke. It's about waiting for the Lord to speak. And here it is so wonderfully written, then Jesus answered and said, what the crowd said, we can forget. And what the others said, we can also forget. But what Jesus said, that is what we want to hold on to. On this we can stand. It was so then, it is so today. If we listen to the crowd, they only heard something loud. They did not understand the words that were said. And the others, an angel had spoken. Then Jesus answered and said, that is the sentence we had to take with us this evening. The word that God wants to give you and me from this evening's lesson to take with you on your entire journey through life. Not what the people say or what those standing very close to you say. Then Jesus arose and said, this is what matters, and this is important. And he said, now is the judgment of this world. Or first he said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. What was it? God had spoken very clearly, but the people did not understand. It was lost in the loud sound, because it says, then a voice sounded from heaven, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. That is what was said, and that is what we believe. Jesus answered and said, and he wanted to emphasize it again, and he said, not for my sake. Wait a minute, let me read carefully. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Has not God spoken for our sake in this time? Has he not revealed his word for the sake of his people? Shall we hear what a crowd has to say about thunder, or another, whether an angel has spoken? Or shall we say, Lord, you have spoken. The words of your mouth are precious to us. And the good thing about it is, we have understood them. A person who still says this and that has not understood at all what the Lord really said. How wonderful this verse. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, that he might always speak the word in our midst. And his word is every time, thus saith the Lord. With people, we don't even want to start. Otherwise, we might actually go away ashamed. But with God, we are strengthened and raised up anew and may trust him anew. Then Jesus answered and said, "This is my only wish, that in all matters, where one thinks this way and another thinks that way, that the Lord, who is the Word made flesh, might really come to his right and take the word and speak." When you read this properly here, you get the impression that he interrupted them. He had heard enough of what the people and those around him were saying. Then he rose to speak and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." What he says is the absolute truth. He could say, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." What was it? He has already seen what happens when he would accomplish the redemption on the cross of Calvary. And if we can anchor our faith in that, then the Lord will help us and be with us all. We can't go into the other things. Time is rushing so fast. And I've been told recently that I preach too long. John 17, exactly the same thing. Here it says, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." What was it? "The hour has come. Glorify thy Son." And this he says before he starts on his way through Gethsemane to Golgotha. When we would speak of glorification, we mean a great feast and someone noble is crowned. This is an hour of glorification. Here is the hour of suffering. And we have all read it. "If it is possible, let this pass me by. But not my will, but thine be done." We as human beings can hardly comprehend that through all these depths a glorification was possible, and yet it has happened. And Brother Branham says so well, "The way up, it goes down first." And so it was here. "Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee." As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you see? Knowing the mystery of God even has to do with whether we have eternal life or not. Whether we just say we have it, or whether we have actually received it by grace. And then it says here, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Yes, sir. It was the glory of God, which is from eternity to eternity, which had been ordained to change this body, which was made flesh, back into the glorious body. into the body as we will have it after the resurrection and after the transformation. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, the three disciples and Moses and Elijah already saw him transfigured before them, shining white, and his face shone like the sun. It is about you. It is about me. It is about us. Our Lord could say, I have finished the work you gave me to do, and all those you have given me will come to me, and I will give them eternal life. It is God who calls. He has called you. He has called me. He has called us. You and I would not be here today if he had not called us by grace. But he wants to glorify himself, and this through the members of his body, and confirm his word. When we go into prayer, may that be our main concern, to ask that God might equip us with a power from on high. If the last bride is to be as the first was, then she must be equipped with the same power. Then there can be nothing less. On the contrary, we need more today, whether you believe it or not. We could use a double portion very well of what the men of God and the church had in the beginning. First, we would already be satisfied with the same measure, and then the Lord could add another measure according to the scripture, to him that has shall be given, that he may have an abundance. Here we come again to the word, out of his fullness we have received grace for grace. May he bless us and be with us. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. And lift up your name, for to you alone belongs all honor, and to you belongs all glory, and to you belongs all worship, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the sermons. We thank you for the word that you have given us, even tonight. We thank you for your servant and prophet, whom you have sent in our days. O Lord, may we not only hear your word, but may we absorb it, and may we each look at ourselves in it. Not one at another, Lord. No, Lord. May each one look at himself. Give me grace, Lord. This is my prayer. Savior, that we may not look upon others and not judge others, but that we judge ourselves so that we can stand our ground before you. Savior, the time is near when thou shalt appear, when thou shalt come for thine own. Lord, I want to be ready. I want to be ready to enter with you into your kingdom, into your glory. Lord, I pray, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my brothers and on my sisters. Be merciful to us all. Lord, as it was prayed, may you have mercy, Lord. May you accept us, Lord, and confirm your word with signs and wonders. This is my prayer, Lord. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in our midst, Lord. We wait for it eagerly, Lord. Let it come to pass for your name's sake. We remember all the sick. We lay them before you. Also, Sister Rauch, Lord, she asked that we pray for her. May you be with her, Lord, in the hour of operation. Lord, with you all things are possible. You can do a miracle. Lord, you are the God of heaven and earth. Let your name be glorified. O God, we worship you. All things are possible with you, for you are the true God who created heaven and earth. Faithful God, we pray be with us as we depart, and bring us together tomorrow again. And may you also make our brother a blessing there in Switzerland, O Lord. My God, we thank you. May you be glorified in our hearts and among ourselves in the church. Praise be to you. Hallelujah. Be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.